Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For much of our audience, this is coming to you live during our usual time slot from noon to 2 p.m. This is the second hour of our program. But for those of you in New York this week only, preempted by sports, you're going to hear us at a different time. Maybe we'll garner a new audience because we're on at 7 p.m. in New York City as a rebroadcast of our original live program. We still invite callers to call because a lot of people are listening to us online. You know, each week you can listen to this program online. You can go to drhoffman.com and find the link whereby you can listen live for the full 2 hours of our program. drhoffman.com, just under the listen button, you can find the weekend program, and you can listen live to our broadcast. But we welcome whatever new audience we're garnering here in New York. And we got lots to talk about. 888-302-3684 is our number. We invite you to call, and we may get a few less calls this hour because the lion's share of our calls come to us from Superstation WOR in New York City, Radio 710 AM. But nonetheless, we've got lots to talk about because there's lots in the medical news this week. And I'm catching up from a little hiatus that I took. Went down to Florida, hung out in the Highland Beach area of Florida. That's near Boca, just north of Fort Lauderdale. For those of you not acquainted with Florida geography on the Atlantic coast. And it was interesting because it was unusually cold in Florida. The Floridians are walking around with down jackets on. But for me, it was just great because it was a hell of a lot warmer than in New York. And on the final day, I swam in the ocean. In the ocean, delightful temperature, like 72 degrees. And the air temperature a little cooler, finally warmed up towards the end of the week. But then I hopped on a plane. And this, modern age experience within a regular day, going from swimming in the Atlantic, 70 degrees outside, to New York City, where there was a record low temperature. It was minus one the night that I arrived. That's a real shock as you get back to New York. And what's interesting about Florida, I was kind of like a Florida denier, sort of thing like, I'm going to tough it out. I'm not going to, succumb to the allure to go south. I'm a tough New Yorker. And, and finally I did. And I said, what is this sign of like aging? You can't hack it. Dealing with the adversity of winter in the Northeast. But no, you go down to Florida, and there's a lot of really healthy folks. It kind of defeats the stereotype. You think, Florida is a graveyard, place where people go to live out their last years, debilitated elderly folks, all the folks lined up for the early bird special. And no, it was a lot of active folks, youthful folks, many of whom were in their 60s and 70s and beyond. And I rented a bike down there. It's a beautiful place to cycle down there. It's on what's called A1A, which is the coastal route in Florida. You can literally go a couple hundred miles up and down the Florida coast, the east coast of Florida. And it's beautiful. It's scenic. And it's incredible the number of intrepid cyclists flying up and down A1A on beautiful, fancy, expensive bikes. And some of these folks are not youngsters. I'm 63 years old. I did a 28-mile bike ride, and that was fine. It was actually a little chilly that day, so I kind of braved the wind. It wasn't ideal conditions. But there were flotillas of folks going up and down A1A on fancy bikes, moving along at a fast clip, and we're not talking cheap, you know, beater bikes. We're talking $10,000-$12,000 fancy road bikes, triathlon bikes, all dressed up in colorful riding togs. And it's a place where a lot of people engage in fitness. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, my California and Florida colleagues benefit from is year-round fitness. They can go out any day of the week and, you know, 365 days, and they can run or bike, enjoy the outdoors. And here in New York, you kind of have to make do in the winter. And today was a lovely warm day. It was a real gift because we have warm spring-like temperatures in New York. I mean, it's incredible because last weekend it was zero. And lo and behold, this week it's 65 degrees. That's New York for you. But I was able to go out and take a run this morning. It was just delightful, just in my shorts and a little, you know, long sleeve, sweatshirt on. But Florida is a place where a lot of people engage in year-round fitness, and I was very, very impressed with that. So, you know, salute to our Floridian listeners, the so-called snowbirds. You got a very nice lifestyle down there. I really appreciated my sojourn. All right, 888-302-3684. All right, let me vent. Let me vent a little bit because I've been on, and I continue to maintain this. It's a 30-day challenge, which I began Christmas Eve, and it is called the Whole 30 Diet. And those of you who are familiar with me, I've blogged extensively on it. We've written articles about it in our newsletter. I've recorded podcasts on the subject of the Whole 30 Diet. The Whole 30 Diet is a paleo diet, and it's a very interesting experiment. I took the challenge for 30 days, and I really like the results. I really feel good. I wasn't intending to lose weight, but, you know, accidentally I lost, you know, 4 or 5 pounds. I feel lean. I feel energetic. It is a version of the paleo diet that was devised by Melissa and Dallas Hartwig. And I'm going to have Melissa on our podcast in a couple of weeks. I think she's scheduled for next month. And what you can eat meat from grass-fed animals, you can eat fish, eggs, nuts, and seeds, and you can have olive oil. And what you can't eat, you can't have any dairy, you can't have any sugar whatsoever. You're going to be avoiding all cereal grains, including rice, quinoa, you know, the so-called healthy grains. No legumes, and that includes peanuts. That was a real deprivation for me. And so you're trying to avoid some of the modern foods. There are various interpretations of the paleo diet. Some of the paleo diets exclude nightshade vegetables like tomatoes and potatoes. This particular diet doesn't, unless you're sensitive to them. And, you know, so this is what I've been doing. And I think the results are interesting because you have more focus, you sleep deeper, aches and pains recede, lethargy dissipates. And if you're desirous of losing weight, optimizing your blood sugar, you're lowering your cholesterol, this is terrific. You've got an autoimmune disease, MS, ulcerative colitis. This is a really good diet to follow. So I wanted to explore it. The diet first came to the public's attention in 2001 when Lauren Cordain, who's been a frequent guest on Intelligent Medicine on our podcasts, published The Paleo Diet, which is a very popular in America. So along comes a new study, and the headline here is Paleo Diet Unhealthy and Fattening. Well, what's up with that? Okay. Australian researchers tested the low-carbohydrate, high-fat paleo diet on mice for just 8 weeks and found that it led to 15% weight gains and doubled fat mass. Wow. So that paleo diet that I've been following, that's going to make me gain weight, and ultimately it's going to do me in, according to these Australian researchers. Warning the public to, quote, avoid putting faith in so-called fad diets, researchers at Melbourne University said the low-carbohydrate, high-fat diet had been tested on mice for 8 weeks and was found to cause weight gains of 15% and health complications. According to Associate Professor Sof Andrikopoulos, low-carbohydrate, high-fat diets are becoming more popular, but there's no scientific evidence that these diets work. Our model tried to mimic these low-carb diets. We didn't see any improvements in weight or symptoms. In fact, they got worse. The bottom line is it's not good to eat too much fat, according to this associate professor in Melbourne, Australia, who did this study. So the study was published in the Journal of Nutrition and Diabetes. So what's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with this picture? Well, as you might surmise, giving an artificial diet to mice does not enable us to draw conclusions about the effects of a certain diet on humans. What they did is they loaded mouse chow with fat. They made it mostly saturated fat, some monounsaturated fat, some polyunsaturated fat, but they just gave lots of fat to these mice for a short period of time, 8 weeks. And the basis of this, the mice gained weight. They didn't do well. They conclude that the paleo diet is no good. So, number one, what does this have to do with humans who follow a paleo diet? I mean, there's a real misconception about the paleo diet, that the paleo diet means you eat a ton of fat, that it's all about eating, you remember the Flintstones? When the Flintstones ate brontosaurus steaks, you know, they were cooking them on the barbecue, you barely heft them. Well, that's not what it's about. A typical meal for me might be a big honkin' salad with lettuce and arugula and maybe some bacon bits, tomatoes or beets, artichoke hearts, hearts of palm, sprinkled with some walnuts, and then dressed with either walnut oil or olive oil. That's, you know, what I start with. And then maybe having a 6-ounce salmon fillet with a good portion of roast Hubbard squash. And then some dessert, some fresh berries, maybe garnished with unsweetened coconut. What does that have to do with the high-fat mouse chow that they gave to these mice for 8 weeks and made them fat with? That's a total misconception of what the paleo diet is all about. And this experiment says nothing about the effects on humans of the paleo diet. Well, that, you know, it's amazing that, well, number one, they did the study, but it's highly improper and immodest of this researcher to try to grab headlines and say, well, my study proves that the paleo diet is no good. Now, come on now. It's just a weird aberration. Like, what was the last time that you saw mice gravitate towards fat? They eat practically a vegetarian diet. They like to eat a lot of grains. And feeding them fat, yeah, it's going to make them sick. But they're not humans. And humans can consume fat and animal protein and do pretty well on it when they restrict their carbohydrates. And by the way, I'm not in a no-carbohydrate diet. It's just a no-sugar diet. There's less refined carbohydrates and starches. All right. 888-302-3684 is my number. If you'd like to weigh in with your questions or comments during this hour of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
We know probiotics are good for digestive health, but what about your skin? I'm Kat James, author of The Truth About Beauty. Common skincare products can disrupt the balance of the friendly bacteria on your skin. That's why Dr. O'Hara's probiotics merge ancient Japanese fermentation skills with probiotic and prebiotic nutrients into a revolutionary 100% natural skincare line to help revive and support balanced microecology for healthy skin. Their Kampuku Beauty Bar, honored with the Best of Beauty Award by Better Nutrition, promotes optimal skin ecology while clarifying and rebalancing even sensitive skin without drying. Their Magoroku lotion combines Dr. O'Hara's award-winning pre- and probiotic isolate with 14 oxygenating plant extracts plus one of the most skin-compatible emollients known to restore your glow. Research confirms it inhibits growth of harmful bacteria that can cause skin disorders. Use it alone or with your favorite serums. Dr. O'Hara's probiotic skincare is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine stores.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic aged garlic extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that kyolic aged garlic extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, kyolic aged garlic extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic aged garlic extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and a couple of nutrition shorts. Here's a new study out of the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and it has to do with how to forestall the loss of lung function as you age. I mean, typically people have a little less breathing capacity. There's a natural age-rated decline. So how can you prevent that? Well, according to an article, you can slow the loss of lung function that is due to age through consumption of blueberries. Blueberries are rich in anthocyanins. Anthocyanins are the polyphenol substances that impart a blue or purple color to many fruits and vegetables. And compared with no intake or very low intakes, an intake of greater than 2 servings of anthocyanin-rich blueberries per week. Hey, that's not a heck of a lot. Yeah, they're a little pricey, but you get them frozen. They're cheaper, out of season. And you can reduce your risk of progression to lung decline. Now, what's interesting is that another form of proanthocyanins, you can get them from grape seeds. So grape seed extract, sometimes referred to as OPCs, oligoproanthocyanidins. Short for that is OPCs. These can also forestall a decline. Pycnogenol is another form of proanthocyanidin that can help you slow your progression to reduced lung function. So stock up on the blueberry. You know, I have lots and lots of fresh berries. They've become an essential part of my diet. And even though they're a little expensive during the winter when they're fresh, you can always stockpile some frozen blueberries, boysenberries, raspberries in your freezer and have them for dessert. All right, 888-302-3684 is our number. We got lots more coming during this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And as that announcement states, we got a newsletter. And for those of you who are new listeners, you can subscribe by going to drhoffman.com. Just click on the subscribe box. And you will have an informative weekly newsletter delivered directly to your inbox, which this week features an article entitled 17 Nutraceuticals That Can Boost Your Immune Response. And, you know, this program is just the tip of the iceberg of the Intelligent Medicine Phenomenon. We've got lots of information that we post at drhoffman.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. And we send out, I think, a very informative newsletter. All that to better inform you about developments in the world of health and nutrition. So 17 nutraceuticals that can boost your immune response. It's appropriate this year because lots of people hacking and coughing and coming down with colds and flus in the office this week. I saw a whole bunch of people who were sick. And, you know, maybe it's just the crazy temperature fluctuations. It's hot, it's cold, 60, 70 degree temperature fluctuations here in the Northeast where I'm based. And so we need to fortify our immune systems. Now, that's not going to make us invulnerable. All right. We're going to get sick from time to time, but the object is to get sick and have a clean burn, you know, maybe feel, you know, temperature achy for a day or two, a little congestion, but avoid the use of antibiotics, because the more you use antibiotics, the more you become dependent on them. Your immune system doesn't have an opportunity to fend off pathogens. And so what you want to do is not just kill the bugs with medications. You want to fortify the terrain to make your body inhospitable to invaders. So I list this week, and you can go to drhoffman.com and see it as well, 17 nutraceuticals that can boost your immune response. They include vitamin A and vitamin C. I use high-dose intravenous vitamin C as the mainstay of my approach to viral infections like mono or hepatitis and shingles, or, you know, people with bronchitis checking they don't want to use antibiotics. They take a vitamin C drip and they banish their infections in record time. Vitamin D, very important for bolstering immunity. Vitamin E, B vitamins. For example, a deficiency of B6 has been shown to depress immunity. Lack of adequate vitamin B12 and folate can reduce your white blood cell count. Iron turns out to be something that helps to support immunity. Many women are deficient in iron during their reproductive years, and iron is essential for the cells that make up our immune defenses. Selenium, I refer to it sometimes as a birth control pill for viruses, so that's important. Zinc is crucial, you know, hence the popularity of zinc lozenges when you have a cold. These are among the 17 important nutrients. Of course, there's echinacea and astragalus and transfer factor, which is derived from colostrum. That's critical for priming immunity in newborns, but can also help to resuscitate your immunity if it's flagging in later years. And ginseng. In China, it's a popular gift of children to their elderly parents, especially in winter, as a way to fend off seasonal infections. And don't forget N-acetylcysteine, or NAC. Here's a study on NAC. NAC is a potent antioxidant. It's a building block for glutathione, which is the body's master antioxidant. And there's an interesting study on N-acetylcysteine, which is anti-inflammatory and immune-boosting. Researchers in Genoa, Italy, gave either two 600-milligram NAC tablets or placebo daily to people for 6 months throughout the winter flu season. And what they found was that here's the point I'm going to make. It did not prevent infection, okay? But what's interesting is the majority of those taking the supplement did not develop symptoms. They might have been exposed to a virus, but they didn't come down with it. In fact, just 25% of those taking NAC, remember it was 600 milligrams twice daily, it was a moderate dose, actually developed flu symptoms. 25% taking NAC developed flu symptoms, compared with 79% of the placebo group. They got sugar pills. So here's an interesting wrinkle to that, is when you get the flu, typically people take remedies containing Tylenol, okay, acetaminophen. Whether it's Tylenol, brand name, or whether it's acetaminophen in your cough medicine, your cold remedy, you're going to be taking acetaminophen. That kills your production of glutathione. So it behooves you. You can take NAC for prevention, but also if you get a cold or flu, ramp up on your NAC, particularly if you're taking Tylenol to ease the aches and pains or the fever, because you're going to devastate your own body's defense mechanisms, which utilize glutathione to fight the infection. So N-acetylcysteine also joins our roster. And, you know, I typically suggest, and I've done this myself, when I've had, you know, a couple times that I've had respiratory infections, I've really slammed the N-acetylcysteine. I've taken 2,000 to 3,000 milligrams for 2 or 3 days during the acute part of the infection. And it's really diminished the severity and duration of my respiratory infection. So this is important. It also thins mucus, which is very important for people who are subject to cough, bronchitis, sinusitis. So think N-acetylcysteine for prevention of respiratory infections. But also, if you come down with one, up your intake. It's called NAC. All right, let's take a call from Steve in Manhattan. By the way, our number you should use here to call 888-302-3684. Thanks for calling, Steve.
Hey, good afternoon, Dr. Hoffman.
How are you doing? In Manhattan, you're going to miss our usual broadcast, which is on at 1 p.m. each weekend, but we're rebroadcasting at 7, so you can actually hear yourself pose the question later on tonight, which is kind of fun. Get to listen to yourself.
Yeah. Well, my question deals with, let me just say that after going to my cardiologist, he told me I had 20% blockage in the neck artery or the neck vein, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And he recommended, of course, statins and
aspirin. Of course. Okay.
And so he also recommended avoiding saturated fat, of course.
Okay. He's dead wrong, you know, because he's just operating from like a really old deck of cards there.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm getting the impression, what you believe, because you mentioned a couple of weeks ago that your choice of fats were coconut oil, ghee, and lard. And
yes,
I'm
indeed.
Myself, what?
That's mind-blowing. Okay, let me explain how that works. In some ways, we have to qualify that statement, because let's say, you know, you're eating a lot of pizza and you eat a lot of pasta and you're having tons of bread and you're overweight and you're a little pre-diabetic, you have a high triglycerides, you're drinking soda, and then you add, you have a lot of bacon, you have a lot of, fatty meat. And what's going to happen is you're just going to boost your overall caloric intake. It's not per se the saturated fat that's going to kill you. It's just, hey, saturated fat's caloric. So you add that to the carbs and, it probably, if you're just going to eat all those carbs, you should forego the fat. Okay. But the point is you actually want to use the fat as a means of creating satiety. And I got to tell you, with my little, several week experiment, I'm now into about 45, 50 days, or perhaps more, maybe a couple of months into this, of doing a paleo-style diet where I'm not having any grains, I'm not having any sugar, I'm foregoing alcohol, and I'm eating relatively low carb, but not no carb. The fat's really providing me with a lot of satiety. I can go hours and hours and hours without eating, and then I get hungry and I eat. Instead of constantly thinking about, where's the next snack? Where's dessert? What's after? What can I top my meal off with? Even though I'm full, I'll have some dark chocolate. I'll have some, put some sugar on my berries or something. No, I don't need that anymore. So that's what fat, the role that fat plays. It helps with satiety because, fat's the most satiating type of food. Protein is less satiating. Protein's a little bit satiating. But fat's the ultimate thing that creates a fullness response. And that's why those saturated fats, when you're restricting carbs, providing you're restricting carbs, make very little difference in terms of your cardiovascular risk. So you want to be on a low-carb diet. You can incorporate saturated fats and egg yolks. Another point to be made is you don't want to just eat meat and fat. You want to have plenty of fresh vegetables, some fruit, maybe less succulent, sugar-laden fruit. But the benefits of the vegetables are very real in terms of cardiovascular prevention. So you don't, sometimes people eat just like a burger with fries and, skip the salad. Okay, well, you fill up on that. There's no room for the vegetables, which actually have a very nice preventive effect. So I think there's a lot of misinterpretation of this whole thing. And, I think your doctor, it may be warranted to use the statins for prevention. But, hey, don't forget other means of prevention. Make sure you take kaolic aged garlic extract, the cardiovascular formula. Take 600 milligram, 2 caps twice daily. In a recent study, it was shown not only to slow the progression of plaque accumulation in the coronary arteries, but it was shown to regress it, cause it to, be reduced over a relatively short period of time. And you want to take other preventive nutrients like resveratrol, vitamin K2, which prevents Atherosclerosis, the brand I use, is called MK7, gamma tocopherol vitamin E. There are a whole lot of supplements that can augment and support the use of statins. If you're going to take a statin, make sure you're taking CoQ10 or ubiquinol, because you're going to deplete your CoQ and ubiquinol when you take that type of medication. So, I mean, you're not going to say not to take a statin, but, you know, many of my patients with some mild degree of calcification, the statins may not be necessary when they follow a really good diet and exercise, take the right supplements. All right, Steve, thanks for your call. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number. We've got lots more to talk about on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. Please stay with us.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shop, and other fine natural products retailers.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. You know, while we're on this fat debate, it's important to note that when we're talking about fat, you know, lard, animal fat, I actually use duck fat sometimes in my cooking these days, that you really want to use grass-fed beef, organic meat, or pasture-raised products, particularly pasture-raised eggs, because one of the biggest problems with meat and the concentrated fat that you find in meat is that it accumulates all kinds of industrial pollutants, pesticides, and so on, because animals are high in the food chain, and as a result, their fat may be laden. This is actually, the fat is a depot for environmental toxins. So that is one argument against eating animal protein. However, you can get better quality animal protein. It's not going to be completely free of potential hazards, but you want nitrite-free bacon, preferably from organic or pasture-fed animals. You want organic chicken. You want grass-fed beef. That is a preferable way to consume your animal protein. And, yeah, it's pricey and hard to find. So some people accuse folks on the paleo diet of being elitists because, you know, the average person has little access to these esoteric foods. So, yeah, that is one knock against animal protein consumption. But let's look at another aspect of this, which is the relationship between fat and cancer. All right? The National Research Council, specifically the Committee on Diet, Nutrition, and Cancer, came out in 1982 recommending that Americans reduce fat consumption from an average of 40% of daily calories to 30%. And that got the ball rolling on this low-fat craze. It was around the 80s. And one of the arguments was that fat is associated with cancer. So let's take a look at the track record of studies that link fat consumption to, in particular, breast cancer. All right? And what we find is some of the early studies suggested, oh, yeah, fat is associated with breast cancer. But when better studies were done, it turns out that no such association was seen. And there was actually some studies that suggested the more fat you consume, the less breast cancer you were going to get, surprisingly. So one study on Seventh-day Adventists in 1983 found no significant trend toward increasing risk for breast cancer with greater meat consumption in this primarily vegetarian group. But some Seventh-day Adventists jumped the shark and had some meat consumption, and that didn't increase their risk of breast cancer. They're looking at the same data. There was no association between meat, milk, or egg consumption breast cancer death. And in fact, the women who adopted a strictly vegetarian diet among these Seventh-day Adventists were at a higher risk of death from breast cancer. Walter Willett, he's a very famous guy at Harvard. He analyzed data from the Nurses' Health Study, which included nearly 90,000 nurses, and they found a trend towards a decreased risk of breast cancer for women who ate the most fat, an 18% decrease. Then there were studies from 1989 to 1993, and none of those trials did the association between total fat and breast cancer reach statistical significance. There was a 1996 meta-analysis. That's a study of studies. They looked at a bunch of studies together. They included some additional folks from Sweden. They looked at 5,000 cancer cases from studies that comprised nearly 340,000 women. When women in the highest quarter of total fat intake were compared to women in the lowest quarter, the relative risk of breast cancer was just the same. There was no evidence that risk for breast cancer varied significantly with fat intake. Then there were some studies that looked at the effect of eating a fat, a good fat, extra virgin olive oil, and they found that it was associated with a lower breast cancer risk. So monounsaturated fat intake, turns out, lowered the risk of breast cancer. Polyunsaturated fat, which you get from vegetable oils and maybe fried foods, turned out to increase the risk of breast cancer, and the net effect was kind of a wash. There was no overall effect of fat intake. We were talking about different types of fats. We're talking about fats from like trans fats, Crisco, which is popular, corn oil. And that's not a good kind of fat. That type of fat is associated with higher risk of cancer. For each 5-gram increase in polyunsaturated fat was associated with a 69% increase in relative risk. So that is not a good type of fat. Used to be thought, well, that's preferable to lard or chicken fat, you know, for cooking. So you use the, you know, Wesson oil or something like that. No, that's associated with a higher risk of cancer. So so bottom line, a diet to prevent breast cancer should probably be a lower carbohydrate version of a Mediterranean style diet with special emphasis on extra virgin olive oil and nut intake. Is dairy a factor? According to some studies, those women consuming larger amounts of high fat dairy exhibited a trend towards higher breast cancer mortality. So dairy, and we're not even sure when you do studies on dairy, is it about the dairy per se, or is it because dairy is a repository for a lot of environmental pollutants? It's unclear, and especially sometimes cows are given bovine growth hormone, which may stimulate mammary cells in women. Maybe, just maybe, you know, if they had organic dairy, we wouldn't see the same thing. But unfortunately, the studies don't differentiate, and there is a trend towards higher risk of breast cancer in women who consume a lot of high-fat dairy. That would be cheese and cream, things of that nature. However, in yet another study, there was no association with dairy consumption at all-cause or breast cancer death, so that remains controversial. So, you know, bottom line, it's time to abandon the old assumption that high-fat consumption leads to cancer, and specifically breast cancer is the best example that has been highly researched. because what we're doing by perpetuating this myth is we're encouraging people to eat a lot of low-fat food that's high in glycemic index, that delivers a lot of carbohydrate calories, and thus may fuel obesity, which for sure we know is related to cancer risk. All right, I rest my case, and thanks very much for joining us. And remember, this program is just the tip of the iceberg of the intelligent medicine phenomenon. We've got lots more content available for you at drhoffman.com. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Subscribe to our newsletter and listen to our podcast. Lots of useful information there. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Have a great weekend. This is Intelligent Medicine.